You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Warning, this podcast may contain bad language, files that I can't access, and random things going wrong, and also part two of last week and content and language that some people may find offensive. Kind of a masturbates, but not really, because I didn't put in the theme tune. Part two, here we go.
Why didn't you do the theme tune?
I'll be honest, I want to re-record it.
Oh, that's fair.
Okay. You want me in it. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, I didn't say that, did I?
Welcome to Seesaw Podcast.
With your hosts, T, Cleves, and Selena.
Every week, bringing some much-needed balance and humour to brighten up what can sometimes be a dark, disabled world.
Welcome to Seesaw Podcast, the show, much like Microsoft, giving you patches that may break your devices. We are back. Or a part dose, as alluded to at the beginning, about cant culture. And this one hopefully will be a bit more positive, have a little bit of feedback to go through as well. But before we kick off, it seems like a while since we've all been together. So what's been going on, Selena?
Never guess what?
What?
Been sofa shopping today.
No way.
Did you just buy a new one?
Not for me, for my parents. I went with them for their house. Obviously, I needed to be involved in that because when I visit, which is quite often, I need to be comfortable. And I've discovered something quite amazing and gutted that I didn't get with my sofa.
Go on.
So, like, obviously, I've got a recliner, as I'm sure you remember.
Obviously.
I've seen in episode 161 or something like that.
Quite that. But apparently, right, you can get this lumbar support as part of the recliner now. So it's like an extra button, but so you press it and it's like pumps out and supports your back. And I'm gutted that I don't have that.
You could just get a pillow.
No, honestly.
Yeah, but arguably you can get a poof and then put your feet on that. So if we're talking
exactly,
like random shite that a sofa doesn't necessarily need.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Does this mean that you're getting rid of that one? That one is also going in the garden, or I'm sorry, the orangery with your old sofa, which I assume is still there.
It's pronounced conservatory.
That's true. It is.
No, I don't think I can justify buying.
Are you just trying to make
sofa?
Your own sofa shop, Selena?
No, but I'm just in case people didn't know about this. Like, I'm just sharing what I've learned today. I've also learned that you can get 4D sofas. So, like, it links to your TV, and when you're watching a film and like action happens, it'll like vibrate and squirt water on you and stuff like that.
I mean, so I can get 4Ds on a sofa and it'll squirt water on you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Look, you're just saying it's a cheaper option.
What you've just described is quality.
Also, yes. But also, that is a fun idea. Not the orgy, the 4D TV. Well, both, I guess. Whatever.
It sounds expensive and something you'd use probably once when someone comes over, but then not use yourself.
Hey, people come over in my scenario as well.
You can get speakers as well in your sofa, and it links to your Bluetooth, so you can play your music through your sofa.
I've got that in my bed.
Oh, see?
So that I can put on the porno music.
Rock DJ on loop.
It's just me dancing and, you know, taking off my clothes and yeah, and then women slowly leaving.
Talking of porn, right, someone said on X the other day I'm going to try and call it X instead of Twitter. There's apparently at least one disabled porn star out there. Just saying, there's gonna be, isn't there? I don't know. I assume this person had watched that content. I don't know anymore.
Well, I saw a panorama a couple of years ago where there is a fetishism of being attracted to the disabled community. So if that's a thing, then there definitely is going to be disabled porn actors out there. It was a weird panorama for the BBC to do.
They were cool, that one.
Cleaves considers his alternative career choices.
What?
How are
salesman?
You guys, anyway?
Yeah, good point. Good. I'm going to go next because I don't know where T's going to go with his. So I'm going to say that in Cleaves-based news, I have booked a holiday to Vietnam in November and Hong Kong.
Oh, my God. Nice. I've just been watching Race Across the World. This is my other thing.
That's anyway. Japan, though.
No. They started series in Japan, one. Series one, they go to Vietnam. I've watched series. Okay, so when I pressed play, I thought it was going to play the most current series. And I ended up watching series one. Now I'm on series two. And I will get to Japan eventually. But yeah, okay. Vietnam looks cool.
Yeah. So I'm doing a couple of weeks in Japan. I'm doing a few days in Hong Kong. It's going to be good. I might go over to Macau for a little bit because I hear it's the Vegas of China principality. Yeah, I don't know what you want to call it. It's an economic region of China. It's China, but not China. Don't tell Macau that.
Portuguese. Very Portuguese.
Couldn't tell you. And then I also, because Vietnam sounded too good, also booked a weekend in Benidorm. So I've got three nights of
the spectrum of holidays.
Watered down, cheapest beer, garbage fried trash food, and, you know, obliterating my self-esteem for 3 days. But, you know, at least then in November, I got something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Do you know what? You always play that music for me. I think you should be playing it for yourself about Rich Boy anyway. Two holidays, not just one, two.
Yeah. Did you hear about one being in November, hence having time to save up for it, and the other one being Benidorm? Did I not explain how shit that was? Because if I hadn't put that across, then...
Still cost money.
Yeah, all right, fine. I'll hold my hand up to that.
That is true.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. T?
T's been okay. I don't know why I said in third person there. T has been fine. T good. A couple of medical issues recently. I had to go to the urgent doctor hospital. It wasn't A&E, like urgent care doctor. Not going to go into details because I don't want to put them out in the world, but I'm on
very important issue.
I don't feel comfortable.
Okay.
In any case, very strong antibiotics. And Cleve, you're right. It's an important issue. Men above the age of 30, make sure you are regularly checking yourself. Because if something goes wrong, it can be a very, very, very bad time. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing and currently still running the course of antibiotics and a lot of pain management and stuff like that. So, good fun for tea. So I'm on my Coke Zero today instead of the customary beer.
It's funny you didn't outright say, but at the same time, everyone's pretty much got what you were saying.
I'm more confused if I'm thinking the right thing or not, though, but to be quite honest, but we can discuss this outside pod.
I'll clue you in afterwards. I just don't want to go into too much detail because I don't think it's... I've said enough. I've said enough for it to be raised as an important thing without going into the actual details of it.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yes, exactly. Okay. On to the topic of the week.
Topic of the week.
So, last time around, we were speaking about can't culture. The idea that do disabled people, and we came from a very sort of like blind, vision impaired side of things because that's what we know. Are they a victim of upbringing and culture when it comes to not believing they can do certain things? Go back, listen to that episode, really good stuff in there. This week, we are going to look at the positive things, what actual things could be done to try and remove this or try and unwash the brains of these people.
Yeah, can I just give a quick like rundown. It was more the fact that over your life, you are constantly being thrown these situations where people are telling that you can't do things to the point that you are almost believing that you can't do things. So from like a young age, maybe your parents are telling you can't do things. Then at school, you can tell me people can't do things. Maybe at college, university, there's certain things that you're avoiding from. And then at work, maybe there's certain things that you've been told that you can't do. And it all amalgamates this point where you just think, actually, I can't do that. Whereas it's not true. You probably can. It's just this whole brainwashing scenario.
Yes. Well done.
What? No, I think he summarized that well. Why are you being mean?
No, I think he did a good job as well. I just wanted to build that that life journey, basically, of you know, over time, this is why genuinely, if you're having it from every angle all the time, almost subconsciously, then there's no wonder that you're going to think that you can't do things when you actually can. Physically, there's nothing stopping you.
Okay, that's very concise. I agree. So before we jump into the unwashing of the brains and other things that could be implemented, we did get a little bit of feedback on this topic.
Mm.
And this was through X/Twitter from Percy, who they have said that they liked the show, but they were a bit concerned that it was a bit one-sided to the extent of trying to group in all sort of disabled people as being in this boat. And that maybe, you know, they said from their own experience, they've never known anyone disabled who's had this happen to them.
No.
I think it's a valid point, to be fair.
I'm not sure it is.
Well,
I'm just
going
to say, I think it's spectrum wide. I don't think it's disability dependent. I think it's more person dependent.
Mm. Yeah.
No, sorry, go on.
Okay, I agree with you, but I think maybe the way that they've interpreted the episode was it was a bit more all disabled people feel like are affected by this in some way, which
we probably only, are.
Yeah, and we can only go from our experience as well. And we all went to Royal National College for the Blind, and it wasn't until I went there personally that I saw how like the full force of what this card culture style can actually do when you do see someone who is really being affected by it to the point where they struggle to dress themselves at the age of 18 years old and can't make a cup of tea, and they've never been expected to do that. So it is a spectrum. And I think a lot of disabled people will have this in some form. But I do understand what Percy brought up, that maybe we were a little bit on the side of this is a bit more widespread. They indicate that they don't know anyone who's had that. And I think on that's the extremes that we were saying, yes, maybe that's not the case. But this is a spectrum. And there will be more subtle versions of that.
Yeah, I also think that just because you haven't been affected by it and in all forms throughout your life, you've probably been still, I find it hard to believe that every disabled person hasn't been affected by it from some area of life going through their life, even just a little bit, to the point that maybe it's not stopped them from doing something, but maybe it has made them think twice about doing something. Not necessarily make them think they can't do it, but just put a doubt in their mind.
Yeah. And I think to a certain type of person, that can be very damning. I think it comes down to other personal, like personality differences and other aspects of a person, how they would take that on. And they might have a fuck you, I'm going to do it attitude. And others might have a, oh, okay, that's fine. Like I can not do that. So that's the other side of it where we're talking about like multiple aspects have to line up to see the extreme of this. And unfortunately, we have all seen the extreme of this, and it's quite difficult to watch, to be honest, which is why we've done these episodes, to just put a bit of a spotlight on it, because it does happen.
It does. And, well, firstly, Percy, thank you for listening to the show. However, we don't know Percy's personal experiences, how many disabled people Does he know? Is he disabled himself? We don't know that. And how will it have, depending on
gender?
Depending on, oh my gosh, depending on
Percy
how many
are non-binary trans, just so you are aware.
Oh, actually, okay.
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't know how many disabled people that they know, and how well do they know the disabled people that they do know? Have they had those conversations with them before about, has anyone ever tried to say that you can't do things? I think from my experience of school, like, I shared a taxi with two or three people that also have cerebral palsy. I say definitely for them as well, there was, you know, certain things they were told that they wouldn't be able to do because of their disability. So my personal experience does spread wider than just visual impairment.
And I think that that's absolutely fair. And it's, like you said earlier, Cleese, it is a spectrum. It is absolutely a spectrum, and things have to line up. But there can be really high extremes of this, but there can also be the subtle sides of things. And even though I am an independent man in my 30s now, and I like to think I've got my shit together, I have experienced this. We covered last week, like last episode, that, you know, we've all experienced this in some form, and it's how you react to that. But that was the feedback. If we're going to move on to the
thanks for your feedback, we don't agree. This is why we ask for it. We always ask for it. Please come.
Yes. We do like the feedback. The show is all about keeping it balanced.
Yeah.
I think it's a very good point.
It's
and,
good point.
You know, sometimes you do talk in an echo chamber, and we want to be balanced as well.
Yeah. So, other people will agree with Percy.
Yes.
True.
So that's absolutely fair. And we do want the comments, so keep them coming. And we will feature them in episodes. So let's get on to the unwashing of brains.
Can culture.
Can
culture. Oh, sorry, was that the only feedback we had?
Yes.
Oh, but the way you made out, as if like we had, you know, more than one person's feedback.
No, don't worry, T. We'll move on to Selena's feedback now. Go on.
I'll give you feedback. I shared this post.
Damn it, I didn't think she had any. Well,
I shared this post on Facebook.
Go on.
And then multiple groups. We had a few likes, which, I mean, I assume that means they like that, you know, and agree with us regarding the can't culture. So I'm going to pass that as feedback. And whilst I was searching for the feedback, actually, earlier today, on the International Blind Cafe on Facebook, if you're part of that group, hello, someone posted on there, which I thought was, could have posted it in our comment section, but they didn't. It was a separate post. Said, blindness is a bit like mastering a Rubik's Cube. You have to figure out the puzzle before you can figure out your life. Don't know. Discuss.
No, I don't agree with that at all. Because that implies you have to solve all the issues before you can have a well-meaning and fulfilling life. Whereas if you look at anyone, like, we all have stuff we're working towards and trying to do things. They could be a part of the puzzle. Doesn't mean you don't have the other shit sorted. You can have a side of the Rubik's Cube sorted and still be working on the rest. So I don't entirely believe that, to be fair.
Fair enough. Just thought it was an interesting comment.
It is an interesting comment. I don't believe. I don't agree
with it. Thanks for your comments. We don't believe them. Fuck off. Keep them coming, though. We do enjoy them.
Yeah.
With a word, I'm the worst.
Yeah. Also, I know I'm trying to push this onto the positive side of things as well. I did have interactions on another Facebook group this week, where I'm in a parents group for, parents with kids with my condition. I don't have a child with my condition, but long story short, I was added to it and I answer questions there quite a lot, just about general things from a grown-up perspective. And one person was getting quite
leery,
understandably upset, where a GP basically said, your child will be bullied because of their disability. You need to mentally prepare for that and get
I think
them,
that's true.
Like, confident.
In my head, I'm going to see what T's saying first. But
I'm
already on your side, Selena.
The GP basically was like, your kid will get bullied, maybe build up some mental conditioning, maybe get them some other friend groups and stuff like that so school doesn't matter as much.
Yeah.
And then try and prepare them for that in other ways. Needs to say, a lot of the parents kicked off, basically saying that the GP should lose their license. They're wrong. How dare they say such a thing? The comment I put on there was, it's absolutely going to happen. You need to make peace with that and prepare yourself and your child for that will be the case at some point. And I said, most children anyway are bullied at some point. So, you know, it's you're just heightening the odds. And you can't be naive about this because when it happens, you're going to feel a lot worse if you don't prepare for it. People didn't like that comment.
That did they want your license being removed as well?
My license to podcast.
That does move on nicely, though. If we talk about this whole life cycle, parents are sort of the beginning of your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they need to prepare you as a person who has a disability for, dare I say, the abled world. I'm sorry, disability social model. You've got to adapt a little bit to the abled world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of can culture, maybe we should start there. If you think that your kid is going to get bullied because of their disability, and we've all kind of said here that it probably will happen in some form or another. It might not just be out and out violence and name calling, but it might be, you know, you might be left out of certain things, or
might even be their disability.
Yeah.
It might be they have a big nose. You know, you don't know. Kids are bullied for anything.
Mm.
Might have last year's iPhone.
True.
True. I got bullied.
Yeah, so did I. But we won't go down that.
They used to shout lamppost at me, like as if I was going to walk into one. Lamppost! That was their thing.
Oh. We'll probably do a bullying episode at some point.
That's a good one, yeah.
But we'll continue with Cleese's train of thought here. Because we'll derail again.
Just edit that bit out.
How do you, as a parent, try and make your kid the most abled possible for the abled world?
I think the first thing is parents do a lot for their kids. They absolutely do. And that's what being a parent is. But from my household, I'm one of four boys. We're all quite close together age-wise. And when it gets to a point where you're expected to make your own lunch, you know, make your own breakfast, that sort of thing, I was expected to do that as well. And I think that's something that parents need to do at the appropriate time. Let's say it's 10 years old, you can put cereal in a bowl. So maybe at that point, it's about just keeping to what other kids would be doing, like at that point, and maybe pushing them a little bit further, maybe getting them to do some other bits to look after themselves and just be, yeah, just give them a little bit more of a push. Maybe the other like non-disabled kids wouldn't be doing necessarily. But it gives them a little bit more responsibility, a little bit more independence. And it's sort of turning it on its head of you can't do this to, no, you're expected to do more. So that's an initial thought that I would have.
Hmm. Okay. I actually agree with you on that one. Stop the press.
Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, I know.
Right? On my antibiotics.
He drinks this morning. What can I say? Look. I think that you're exactly right in the sense that parents should not only teach disabled people to do everything able people should do, they should be teaching them to do that stuff at an earlier age than anyone else and better than anyone else. Like by the time I wasn't even 10 and I could cook, clean, iron, use the washing machine, use the cooker, I could do all of that shit. And the reason I know that is because the iron once exploded on me and I had to go to A&E for second degree burns on my arm. And I was not even 10 years old at that point. However, at least I could do all that shit.
Mm.
I got to university. And a lot of people couldn't at the age of 18.
That's the thing.
So that kind of thing, as a parent, if you can teach your disabled child to do that, they've already got one up on a lot of abled people.
Yeah. And then they can focus on their disability and the trials come with that because mm-hmm. this is second nature. You're not learning everything.
Get the basics down. If you can like master all the basics and like them be comfortable with that, you're already kind of a step up.
I don't know. I'm in two minds about this one. On the one hand, if say the parents aren't visually impaired themselves and don't know any visually impaired people, how are they to know how best to help their child to achieve these things?
They look up to the podcast.
Right. And secondly, I think you made a good point about you go to university and there are some people that aren't, you know, not because of their disability, because they don't have a disability, just haven't learned basic independent living skills. So are we putting too high standards on disabled people for them to be like these amazing people that can do everything? Because there are people out there, even now, like in their 30s, that are still living at home, still don't have a partner or a job, or and that seems to be okay because they're not disabled. But if you're a disabled person and that's the case, we're like, oh god, that's awful. Is that right? I don't know.
Well, no, I look at it as on two different, oh god, I'm just gonna dig myself a massive hole here. Fuck it, I'm gonna do it anyway. Bring out the spade. If you're a disabled person in your 30s, right, and you're severely disabled and you don't have to do those things, people almost give you a pass.
Mm.
Like, oh, they're disabled, they can do those things. Whereas if you're in your 30s and you're fully abled and you can't do the basics, who's got respect for you? Well, okay. I'm not throwing that out. I'm going to literally say that I have no respect for you and I'll dig my own grave.
Mm.
I think there is different standards there. Whether those things are right or wrong, it's completely like depends on the situation and the individual. And I work in higher education. I see a lot of people, youngsters who can't look after themselves or don't understand the basics of just self-care. So I do see it on a daily basis. But I think when you're disabled, you're already having to, you're dealing with independence at that age on other fronts, what are probably second nature to the other. Like if you've got sight, for example, you go to a new city, yes, it might be scary, but you have the sight to be able to navigate and be able to get around quite easily because of technology, Google Maps, that sort of thing. Whereas that's a lot harder for someone with no sight. Yes, that person who's got sight might not be good at looking after themselves, but do you want a totally blind person to have to learn that as well as adjust and get the mobility of a new place as well as getting those basics down? If they're prepared from the off, is that not better?
I think so. Oh, God.
Does it not make it wrong? Easy?
This isn't a balanced podcast. This is gross. What the hell's wrong?
I don't know. Sometimes, like, it's hard enough being disabled sometimes, then you're giving them extra pressure. I don't know if that's right or not. But I mean, I think I personally was taught to do, you know, look after myself from an early age. And I see other people's children now who aren't able to do things that I could, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old, which surprises me.
The benefits of that though, Selena, let's say, you know.
It's different though, because I then lost my sight. So then I had to start again. So, but I guess we're starting again because I already knew I had skills from before. I wanted to get them back. And then maybe if I didn't have those skills before, I wouldn't have had the motivation to get them back.
But when you lost it, this is weird actually, because it's coming from two different perspectives. But effectively, all you had to do was adapt to your previous skills, right? You don't have to learn it from the off.
Yes, adapt. That's the right word.
I imagine if you have to learn it from scratch, it's going to take longer,
it's hard,
right?
Yeah.
Plus,
yeah.
When you're a kid, your brain's like a sponge. You pick up everything.
Yeah, yep. So much easier. And you don't realise that you're learning necessarily. It's just happening.
Which is why I think it's probably the best time to do it. And if we're talking about the pressures of living, it's probably better to do it when you're young. I mean, what pressures have kids got? Not a lot.
I don't know. People argue about that these days. It's a matter of mental health we have to be aware of.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fair. But I would debatably say that when you are out on your own, working, trying to get a house, start a family, if that's your jam, there's a lot more pressure that comes there. And do you want to be learning this stuff at that point? Or would you rather it when you have a 9 to 3:30 schooling and you've got some homework in the evening?
Yeah, I mean, my parents used to tell me how to cook and clean and do that sort of stuff. That's how I had to get my pocket money, basically. They were like, look, you want to... They're basically like, here's your jobs. We'll teach you how to do them. Like, because I didn't know how to iron when I was, like, I don't know, 8 years old. You know what I mean? I didn't know what was ironable and what wasn't. don't iron, I don't know, polyester or something like that. But
yeah.
Oh, man. Do you know what I mean? Like, it'll stick to the iron and ruin it, yeah, or whatever. But
yeah,
you know, your parents teach you the basics and away you go, right? Mm-hmm. And that was kind of my pocket money. Do these jobs, empty the oh god, I'm gonna be fucking Selena here. Empty the dishwasher. Yeah, I know, rich boy growing up. How the mighty have fallen. Now I have to wash the pots with my hand. Like a poor man. Yeah, that sort of stuff. But on the bright side, it sets you up for life. And as a kid, if you just sort of taught it as you go along, you don't even realize that you're sort of learning it. It just is kind of like, oh, you can cook your own dinner now. Great. You know where the food is in the cupboard. Make sure it's healthy. Bon appetit. Off you fuck.
Yes.
Like, if anything, it benefits the parents because it's one less thing they got to do.
But shouldn't you let kids be kids as well?
Yeah, but I'm not saying that. But like, it's just, yeah, just like, we're not talking like mass amounts of things, are we? We're just talking about how to learn to use a washing machine or, you know, a cooker or something like that. These are basic life skills. Uh-huh. I had to learn these because I was part of the Cub Scouts. So I had to learn this to get one of my badges.
Get badges, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm talking to Rainbow Leader over here.
Brownies.
Whatever. Shut up, Robin.
Do you at least remember my name?
Okay, we're going to end it there for today. For those that watched on Twitch, you'll know the episode did run a little bit long. But tune in for part two next week, or if you want to watch the whole thing, it'll be out on YouTube. So until next week, we'll see you then. Thank you for listening to Seesaw Podcast. Your feedback and comments mean a lot to us, so if you'd like to get in touch, you can do so in the following ways.
You can find us on X at Seesaw Pod, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Seesaw Podcast. You can email us at seesawpodcast@gmail.com, and you can stream with us live every week on Twitch at Seesaw Podcast.
Remember to like, rate, review, and share with a friend.
This podcast was recorded in front of a blind audience.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.